Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Nine goal kicker brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's ultimate sports show on every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Global Rush Hour family. This is our Monday's Monstrous Rush Hour edition. Two prelim finals were played over the weekend. They're done and dusted. The Cats too old, too slow. And Port Adelaide, they got humiliated inside their own castle on Saturday night. We'll talk about that very shortly. But congratulations to the Melbourne Football Club and the Western Bulldogs. Grand final, Perth Stadium, 2 weeks' time. And one man, it is showtime. That's right, Mr. Showtime, Bernie Vince joins us. G'day, Ben.
Mr. Showtime.
That's you.
Oh, I don't mind that, Jazz.
Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, good to see you too, Jazz. Jeez, I just spat everywhere, but that's okay.
Are you up and about? The Demons.
I'm up and about. They're on.
Wow.
They're on. Jeez, how good was that game Friday night? It's just a clinical performance from the D's.
Yes, sir.
I thought it might have been a little bit one-sided too Saturday night. Certainly not the way it was. Oh. Well, it was one-sided. But I didn't think it was going to be that side, Jars, and we'll touch on this a little bit later, but what a
Port fans are
effort.
Gutted, they're flat, they're Jeez. Disgusted, they don't know what to do.
No.
They can't look
they're
at
embarrassed.
You. Their heads are down.
They're embarrassed.
And we'll catch up with Tommy Jonas, the Port LA captain.
Got some questions
And we've
to
got
ask
to go
him.
Hard on Tommy.
No, we do. We need to ask him some big, hard questions because we want some answers, Jars, and so do the Port fans out there. So very, very disappointing from a Port perspective on the weekend, but exciting. These two are the best two teams. Basically, majority of the year. You know these two teams sat in one and spot one and two for 16 of the 23 rounds, Jars.
Well, there you go.
So that's the highest since, I think, 2011, where the teams that Geelong and Collingwood sat one and two for more weeks than that. But that's the only time it's ever happened. So second most ever. So we've got two quality teams. They play hard football. And it's going to be a great grand final. What about the two midfields too? Isn't that going to be a show?
We'll dissect that throughout the week.
Jay
Clark will join us. Now, he's been very good this year. He'll talk about the Carlton situation.
Where's that heading?
Well,
hearing a few things.
Well, nice lead into Michael Voss, who spoke about it this morning.
Once the Collingwood coaching job had finalised, I'd really given not much thought to anything else because it was such a big month that was coming up and such an important set of games that we had ahead of us. But I guess that's what the next few days hold for me is assess where that's all at and make some decisions off the back of that. I've had a discussion with them, but it hasn't progressed anywhere else as of yet.
There you go. I've had discussions.
Discussions, but he was concentrating on the finals for Port. Well, that's done now, so we might hear a little bit more about Michael Voss, but we're hearing Dom Pike as well is back in the running.
Back in the running, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We don't really know too much. At least Carlton are keeping things in-house for a change, Jars.
No leaks.
This last few days.
No
leaks. It's been terrible.
Like one of the lads that used to work here, Greg Blewett.
I didn't think we're mentioning him.
Nah, but I want you to talk about because he's gone on holidays. He's in Kangaroo Island. Hasn't paid a cent.
No.
Just milking the guts out of poor old KI people.
Yeah, he is.
You said something about his a quad bike.
Well, he's
session.
On a quad bike. And now he's thinking he's some sort of farmer.
Evil Knievel.
He wouldn't know a farmer from his elbow.
No.
He's on a motorbike, and you can see a quad bike, and he's coming in. He's got a little, his son, Rory, on the front.
Yeah, he's four.
You can see him coming in and trying to rev it a little bit. You can see just the panic
the
and
fear
the fear in his
teeth
eyes.
Falling there. He's scared.
He can see him coming past, trying to be cool in front of Catherine and the kids. Then all of a sudden, he's like, how do you stop this?
Yeah.
Oh, Rory. So, bail. Get out. Get out. Jump off.
He tried to throw. So
scared.
5-year-old Rory had to control the quad bike.
He had to stop
cricket
it.
Lips
Jumped off the back. What about that? Couldn't believe him trying to be tough. And
he's
from
not
the
a man of the land.
He's a country boy. He keeps saying he's a country boy.
He's not a country boy.
Oh, come on.
He's petrified.
Come on.
Have you seen his puny little hands?
Yeah.
Gee,
very
boy,
smooth. Very smooth hands.
All the makeup he puts on.
How's he pulled up from his operation anyway? What's happened there?
What I did see fall out of his pocket was that lip gloss he uses.
Wouldn't be his wallet because he doesn't have one. Hey, Benny, by the way, you've
Benny.
Big weekend of prelims on the weekend.
Yes.
And you mentioned something to me that you might have something might have fallen on your desk.
Well, I'm blessed to sit here with. I know you've played in a prelim,
Yes.
It's big and you've actually we know Jar's played in one.
No.
I actually heard this yesterday on the Channel 9 footy
What's
show.
What's happened?
The top five missed goals. Well done there. Number four, Andrew Jarman, a very skillful player. Have a look at him. He just waltzes in and missed it. Can you believe that? Come on, Jars. You're better than that. Let's have a look at it on replay. Open goal, waltzes in and misses the ball. Come on, Jars.
That was Benny. He's gone. He's actually walked out.
He's actually gone.
I told you not to do that.
I thought it was funny.
No. This really scars. He's actually gone. He's actually gone past his desk and he's going to the door.
All right, it's a Bernie show.
I'm not working with you. What are you settling up there thinking you're going to take his spot? Well, Jars is out, I'm out.
Well, I can do this. This show's global. Welcome to the rush hour.
No one else is doing it.
No one else is doing it. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm going with Jars.
It's you or me, Benny.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. And with another big weekend come and gone, it's time for...
Something caught my eye.
What caught my eye?
Well, Bern, plenty of things happened and caught our eye on Saturday night at Adelaide Oval. 25,000 Port Adelaide fans are absolutely flat as. I think they're distraught. Oh. They don't know what the hell's going on with their football club. But Tommy Jonas will join us. He's going to front up. And we love Tommy. And he's probably one of the few players that can put his hand up and at least had a fair dinkum crack. Bern, Kenny Hinkley, before we digest it, you were there live on Saturday night. Bern, here's Kenny saying that they have no excuses.
Probably needs a bit of time to digest and think clearly through it. But we have no excuses. We have no reasons that were outside of our control. We have what we needed and we just didn't perform.
Okay. And before we get into it, here is Kenny. He can't explain.
When you put everything into something and it gets ripped away from you and it means so much to you, I can't begin to explain to you how bad that feels.
Well, Bern, you were there. When did you see it unfold and when did you think it was all over?
Geez, early on, I didn't like the look of the first few stoppages from Port Adelaide.
Right.
The Dogs looked like they're a team that were just hungry. They thrived for the contest. They loved the contest, Jars. They were cracking in, almost slamming into each other, trying to get to the footy, and Port Adelaide were just a little bit hesitant. I didn't like the look of it early, but then I thought, you know what? They haven't really been hurt too bad on the scoreboard yet. Dogs ruined a couple of opportunities going forward. They did have two on the board early, which was a bit of a worrying sign, but that game's not out of control yet. But then it just kept happening and happening and happening. Contested possession, I think at half time, they were 20-something down in contested possession. And coming into the game, Port
Adelaide, they're alarm bells. So what does the coaching staff do when they see those numbers?
Well, 17... When they've won contested possession, Port Adelaide, they've won contested possession 17 times this year. Yeah. You know how many times they've won?
How many?
17. Surely that's a blueprint of how they want to play.
Okay.
They bring the contest. They bring the intensity at the contest. They win the game, Jars. And when they've lost contested possession, they've lost 5 out of 6. The only game was that 1-point win they just got over line with Collingwood.
So the criticism towards Kenny by not making any moves.
No moves. The Bulldogs coaching staff planned it so well. They had a role for Alier, who was huge in that qualifying final.
He got targeted.
What they did, they put body pressure into him. They targeted after Port Adelaide the Bulldogs kicked some goals. It was nothing to do with Alier, but everyone in the forward line ran at Alier and
they just physically attacked him.
And he
was he rattled?
I haven't seen teams do that to him. And he looked rattled, Jazz. Not only was he not having an influence in the air because they locked him down, that when he did win the ball, he took a couple of intercept marks in a row. And I thought, here he goes. Here go Port Adelaide. But when he did win it back, he butchered the ball. He turned it over and it resulted in direct goals for the Bulldogs. And they just looked all at sea. And the other players, that you can build momentum and build confidence off your good players playing well. And when your good players aren't playing well and they've relied on him so much all year, that can rattle the rest of the team. And so, it looked like it just filtered through. But there's some contest,
where was Port senior players? Where were they when you need them to stand up?
I only basically gave four players a tick.
And who were they?
Well, I gave Riley Bonner, I thought was best for Port Adelaide. Yeah, used the ball. His composure under pressure at stages was very good. But the game was done.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't really matter. It was all at the contest. He's not really really in the contest. He was relying on winning the ball. I thought Tommy Jonas attacked the ball really well and put some players down. At least showed a bit
of fight. Yeah.
Scotty Lysett, I liked.
Had a crack.
He had a crack. He had some big crunching tackles and tried to get his team going.
See?
They just never got going. They threatened a little bit in that third quarter when they kicked the first couple and thought, oh, well, but, you know, the score at halftime was 80. The game was done. Port Adelaide had conceded since, I think, round 16, 60 points a game conceded for the whole game, Jars. The Dogs are on 80 at halftime. 80 at halftime. Nah. Can you believe that?
Midfield overhaul? Are you, what happened?
I just think, well,
where were the changes after halftime?
Ollie Wines found a lot of the footy. You could probably give him a tick. I thought Willem Drew... in the third quarter, he tried to get his team on the bench. I would have loved to seen him start on the ground and just go at someone. Yeah. Like, create something. Create a bit of a scuffle before the show some sort of fight.
Yeah.
Him starting on the bench, Liberatore, who thought Drew was going to come, he was going to go to him.
Yeah.
It, mentally, what that does for a player that thinks he's going to get tagged and Drew doesn't start on him, just lets him. Just gives him a free run, and he had an influence. Bontempelli was huge. All their good players. Norton was probably best on ground, flying at everything. Unbelievable
he
was.
So who disappointed you from the Port Adelaide players? Who should retire? Who needs to change up?
I worry about Robbie Gray, where his footy's at. He's been, and I rate him probably second behind Treadray as best ever at Port Adelaide, in my opinion, and everyone has their different opinions.
Past him?
Not gone past him, but I just feel like now would be a good time to finish up.
So Robbie should call it?
Even though he's had some outstanding games against the Bulldogs, he kicked a couple in round 23 and got him over the line. But I just don't want him to play on for too long. He's
Stephen
33
Motlock,
now, I think.
Time.
Stephen Motlock, he might as well not have played.
Yeah.
He had no influence. Fantasia, no influence after such a good game in that qualifying final. I just feel like with Port Adelaide, we might have been a little bit seduced with their performance against the Cats. Because, you know, all the talk, sort of the back end of the year, they hadn't beaten a top eight side. They certainly hadn't beaten a top four side. Well, after they came out and played what I called their best game of the whole season in the qualifying final, what a time to bring it, I said at the time.
You did.
That intensity, tackle pressure all over the ground was something I thought, well, if this is the way they're going to play in finals, they'll make the grand final. Maybe they did as well. But I think that performance might have just seduced us a little bit. Back end of the year, they won a lot of games. Who did they play? They beat the Bulldogs last round, and the Bulldogs having a really bad month. You can only beat who you're playing, obviously, because that's the way the draw is. But they had a bit of a soft draw running in. We all thought they were going to miss the top four at one stage, Jazz. And then they stormed into the top four and then stormed into second place with that big win last round. So maybe we just got a little bit ahead of ourselves when we thought about Port Adelaide. Right. But you can only go on what their performance was like. And they smacked Geelong out of the park.
But then
looking at Geelong on the weekend, so did Melbourne. So... were they a benchmark? Maybe not.
Western Bulldogs got motivated by Chairman David Kosh's comments during the week that I can't get into Perth, I can't get my grand final ticket.
Yeah, from all reports.
Was there any reports that they used that?
Well, Rhett Bigland's on the boundary. She was speaking to a few Bulldogs people, and they actually used that as motivation.
No.
Not so much the Koshy getting in, but it was all the talk about
him.
You know, as soon as they're in the prelim, home prelim, it was all about, the flights have gone up, you know, accommodation, it's costing all this. How do we get grand final tickets? How do we order grand final tickets?
No.
Koshy was part of that. Not so much they didn't use the Koshy thing, but they used all that talk as motivation. How dare you think you're already in it? Are you going to... And maybe the players don't... You never think that. You never think you're in a grand final going into prelim. Yeah. But maybe that just crept in a little bit, Jars. If I was Port Adelaide, I'd do a full review of the 2 weeks leading into that game.
I was going to ask Tom Jonas, where to next?
I heard that they may have had some time off, had a four-day break as well.
Okay.
Not sure about that.
Leading into a prelim.
We'll ask that. But I'd do a full review because... what they served up, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah. And Port Adelaide fans, they want answers.
They want to be told the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
There needs to be a bit of change, I think.
He's a local Norwood lad with a degree in law, a passion for business, and a love of wine. He's proven influential in Port's great defensive record.
That's a terrific mark by Jonas.
And last year, he took on the number one Guernsey as Port Adelaide's standalone skipper. Please welcome to the Rush Hour with Bernie Bluey and Jars, Tom Jonas.
That's why they made him the standalone skipper. He fronts up, Bern. He fronts up with the flag in the ground after a disappointing performance on Saturday night. He's hurting just as much as their Port Adelaide fans. Grand final spot was on the line. Ideal preparation, had the week off. They were fresh, near full strength side, playing at home. Mate, 71 point thumping. Good afternoon, Tommy Jonas. How did this happen, my friend? How in the hell did this happen on Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know. Your guess is probably as good as mine. We just got well and truly outplayed. And like you said, we've had absolutely no excuses. We had a great prep. We earned the break, but we played like we're still on holiday. So, yeah, very, very disappointing to dish that up when we had an opportunity to go further than last year. And, yeah, certainly very dissatisfied with how it all ended.
As disappointing as last year was, and you mentioned it then, you only go down by 6 points. This year or Saturday night surely is more disappointing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I know there's probably a bit more heartbreak when you lose by, you know, under a kick or in the last minute, but at least you know that you played the right way and you're in the game and had, you know, a couple of things gone a bit differently. You might have been on the right side of it, where I think on Saturday night we just didn't play the footy that we prided ourselves on all year.
How does it happen? How do you review this? Because the Port Adelaide fans out there, they want answers about why this or how this is possible, because it's just a complete, I think it's because of in the first qualifying final, your effort and intensity and tackle pressure was just through the roof, and we just didn't see any of that Saturday night.
Yeah, well, we've got a few months to assess it now, so probably just take a breather for a bit, and you know, the coaches of Kenny will look into it, but once we get back into training, we'll sort of reassess it. And I think you've got to give a lot of credit to the Bulldogs for the way they played, but at the same time, we just didn't really front up and play that aggressive footy that we've prided ourselves on.
Was there any sort of inkling or feeling that you may have underestimated the Bulldogs?
I don't think so. I think we respected that they'd been a high quality side all year, and they obviously showed that. You know, they were either first or second ladder for the entirety. And you know, when you get your back against the wall in a spot in a grand final up for grabs, you're going to play like your life depended on it, and that's what they did.
Tommy, when you review it, you lead up to the game. You had the week off. Did you do enough training? Did you do enough sessions? Need a ball touch? Pre-game, in the change rooms, how was the vibe? How did you sense it as the club captain? You know, as a captain, and you do a good warm-up, you actually go, yeah, the boys are on. Did you sense anything that was a little bit concerning before you ran out onto the Adelaide Oval in front of 25,000 passionate Port fans?
Look, it felt really good. We had a great week of training with plenty of energy. I mean, I suppose naturally I'm a bit of a pessimist, and I get a bit on edge if things are going, you know, seem like they're going really well.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
You know, you're up and about. I like to sort of be on the edge. So I'm a bit like that as an individual. But we had a great preparation. It certainly is an excuse.
What were the key focuses from Kenny? What was written on the whiteboard before the game? Because contested possession, and you know this, but when you win it, 17 from 17 when you win contested possession, I think it was minus 23 or minus 25 at half time. If that's the focus, look, I just don't see why he didn't bring it, the mids.
Yeah, it's not just the mids. We lost our battles all over the ground. There's a lot of factors to contested footy, and we're all in it together. We got to take responsibility for it. It's funny you mentioned contested footy, because one, we know that that's what finals are about, and that's what we had on the board, and we know that's when we play our best footy, when we do that and we hunt and bring that pressure. Why it didn't happen, I'm not sure.
Talking to a very disappointed Tommy Jonas, the club captain of Port Adelaide, where to next, mate? Your fans paid $190 to witness that performance on Saturday night. They all talk about this premiership window. I don't really understand it, but I think it's a load of crock. But anyway, where to next? And what do you say to these Port fans who were streaming out, you know, midway through the third quarter, throwing their scarves on the ground, throwing their memberships,
changing flights?
Friends of mine saying they can get stuffed, I'm not coming back until they improve. You know, what do you say as a club captain to these the Port fans who are gutted as we speak?
Yeah, I can't give definitive answers about what happened on Saturday night right now, but all I can say, and I said this after the game, is that we're very aware that it's an absolute privilege to, you know, don the Port Adelaide Guernsey and play under Port Adelaide name and to be the leader of the clubs, you know, it's an honour and a privilege and something we don't take for granted. And we'll go back to the drawing board and review the game. And we're a really great group with a strong determination to win a flag. It's not about individual accolades. It's about winning. It's about the team success and winning a grand final. I can guarantee you no stone will be left unturned to, you know, do better next year.
What did Kenny say? We did the call for Triple M at the ground and we were just thinking, we were lost for words as to what Kenny would say at half time. I think the score was something like 80-14
game over,
or game was over. But was Kenny, what was the message? Was he animated? Was he angry? Did he fire you up or did he just let you go? What was the message?
It wasn't a rah-rah spray. You know, there's a time and place for that. I'm not sure that the weekend was the right one for that. Who really knows? But it was more about obviously asking questions and or giving us some answers about where we needed to tidy it up. But, it was more of a thoughtful approach about the game plan and how we're going to get back in it. And it was more about putting the first half behind us and going back to play the footy that we played all year.
Because you
planned on playing.
You showed a bit after three. I thought your first 5 or 10 minutes, the intensity was there. You hit the scoreboard. Unlucky Marshall was touched off the boot. You actually kicked a few in a row. I thought, why didn't they bring this earlier?
Yeah, there was certainly a glimmer of hope there. And, I mean, just felt like we didn't help ourselves. But then, you know, Bont touches the ball and just little things like that seem to be going against us. But that's certainly not a reason for the performance or an excuse. And, you know, we got what we deserved on Saturday night.
Yeah, we thank you for fronting up too after a tough effort Saturday night. But just before we let you go, what's on now, mate? Is there a Mad Monday or is there
Silly
exit
Saturday.
Meetings today? What happens now?
Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, I mean, as disappointing as it was, you know, the season's now over, so the players get together and enjoy each other's company. You obviously reflect a little bit and there's a little bit of sadness around. It's a tough time of year, you know. There's people that move on from the group. So those exit meetings and medicals and sort of things happen over the next couple of days. So it's always tough, but it's also a great time to enjoy each other's company. In another year where we've sort of been split up a bit as well, we haven't been able to do as much of that in the last 24 months. So it's a good opportunity to spend time with each other.
Well, Tommy, thank you for your time, mate. And it's tough, but life goes on and you wake up and you smell the air and you go, well, I look at my family and get back on the horse and go again next year. So thanks for your time, mate.
That's it. And like I said, we'll be back.
Good boy. And have a couple of hay diddles for Bern and I.
Yeah, time for that now.
If you need a drinking partner, let me know. I'm available.
Because Rockcliffe, we spoke to him last night. Bern did, and he was 3 parts.
Yeah, we sacked him.
he snuck off from the pub early doors.
Oh, Not again.
Yeah.
He's the ghost.
He's got a habit of that back door. He always knows where the back door is.
I reckon he's just done another one here as well.
Oh.
2 in 2 days.
I think he took off the Robbie Gray's house last night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. Those two are little, they're thick as thieves.
Jeez.
Take care, mate. We'll speak again.
Righto, boys.
There he
Thank
is.
You, mate.
Port Adelaide captain, tough.
I appreciate that.
Tough
that's,
burn.
That's hard to front up.
But
you
got to
answer
front
those
up,
questions.
And he does.
After that performance. But I liked his. He was having a dip.
Was
don't
candid.
Worry. And he was angry. And,
he was honest.
Yeah, has a real go. So he was one of the four players I could give a tick to on the night.
I know you did, Burn.
Busy on the weekend. Jars, you were busy winning prelims. Congratulations to Williston into the grand final. Good luck this
Thank
weekend.
You,
I was busy calling grand
you were,
final
Burn.
Or prelim finals.
Prelims, Burn.
But that it's means happened. Anyone that called goes through to the voicemail.
Of course.
So I haven't checked them. Let's have a listen.
Okay, buddy.
You have 14 new messages.
What?
Yeah. Jars, it's Ken. Oh, when you said you could get me tickets to the big game, I got to the Adelaide Oval and then seen the ticket said Williston. Oh. I've been in the car park for 3 hours. Greg Blewett, it's Brian from the Kangaroo Island Hotel.
Oh, no.
Just got some late charges come through that were brought forward from your hotel room. Nothing big. A bag of salt and vinegar chips, 2 600-ml waters, and 9 purchases of strong in-room pornography. We'll just put that on your credit card, mate.
Strong.
Thank you. G'day, Ben. Peter from Adelaide Golf, mate. Look, we don't mind you going into the rough for a bit of a wee, but can you not do that when you're on the driving range, mate? You've killed off half our pop plant. Hello, it's Yater, and thank you so much for putting Rhett Biglands on the boundary line for the game with Port Adelaide. The smell of coconut oil and nightclubs was a bit too much in close quarters. I'd much prefer 129 games for the Adelaide Crows, Bernie Vince, who smells like fairways and excessive pale ale. That's more my thing. And can someone get Dipbar some f***ing chewy? It's Butto. Jazz, congratulations on the big win on the weekend, mate. The planning and preparation is in the hundreds of hours. And next season, would you mind not doing that while you're supposed to be doing a radio show, mate? Plus, you owe the company $2,365 for full colour A3 glossy
print. Get out.
Oh, g'day, boys. Biggles here.
Oh, no.
Geez, didn't Port cop a hammering on the weekend? Just like my 30th when I jumped out of a cake 11 inches. Dripping candle wax on me, stuffed the mattress. Oil. Didn't get my hotel deposit back. Geez, that's too much in it. Michael from the Adelaide Oval here, Jazz. Just wanted you to know, look, we're aware, all right? We've got your email. There's a Rusciutto stand. There's a Bashir stand. There's a Foss Williams stand. So we've decided to bite the bullet and give you your own stand. It's the hot dog cart out the front next to you, mate. All Adelaide Crows home games. Thank you. Oh, it's Ross Lyon here. What the bloody hell going on with Port Adelaide? I mean, they were talking about a big game with Kane Corns, and they were unbeatable, and then you had Kenny Healy going out. But I don't even know what the hell going on. Hey, took it right out of the tailpipe. Yeah, g'day, boys. Kenny here. Look, now isn't the time to go over what happened with the match and why we weren't prepared, but now is the time to go over the fans leaving at halftime. You can all get
Oh, Kenny.
Hi, Greg Blewett. It's Lincoln from Adelaide Colonic Centre. I think, not to cause any panic, but I think you might need to come back in for a quick checkup. We don't actually have home colonic kits. What you grabbed was the office fire hydrant. So,
get out.
Yeah, I just hope that I can get you in time before any damage happens. G'day, Blue. It's Jack here, mate. Apparently you needed a quote for cleaning up fire extinguisher powder in 3 rooms of your house, mate. That's a weird one, but yeah, let me know, mate. I'll hook you right up. Ben! Micka from the Stansbury pub.
Yeah, Micka.
Yeah. That deal that we had for the Port fans went down an absolute treat. You know the one, you get 50% off if you're wearing either a Port shirt or you call it a pointed ankle bracelet. Hello, boys. It's JB.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute amazing weekend full of superstars.
Yeah.
Bernie, fantastic on the call. Oh. Bluey, did stuff all, still a champion.
Yeah.
Jarman.
Yeah.
I heard your team had a win in Williston.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's one of the strongest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Apart from the elastic on your jaw. How did I think?
There are no more messages.
That is unbelievable.
Everyone rang through.
Didn't they? Well, it's pretty. They got a lot of time on their hands.
What about the lad Cyril at the Colonic joint that's after Blewett?
Well, no, Lincoln.
Lincoln, sorry.
Lincoln from the Colonic. He's got the fire hydrant. And he's used it too because he's had to clean up. Biggles is always good. Do I smell like fairways and pale ale, do I?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, geez, I'm going to have to change my deodorant.
The Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jazz presents AFL Newsbreaker.
What up, JC?
Jay Clark.
Well, he joins us on this Monday, Burn on the Rush Hour. Yes. Good afternoon, Jay. Welcome.
Hello, boys. What a massive weekend of footy. How'd you go on your tips? Did you pick the results of the weekend and the margins? Or
2 from 2 for me, but I didn't get the margin right.
You picked the Bulldogs, Burn.
Picked the Bulldogs by a point.
Yep.
Did you? Yes, I did, mate. I just had a bad feeling for Port Adelaide for some reason.
Well, that feeling's spot on. Now, what about the fallout regarding the Geelong Football Club there, young JJ, after Friday night's?
Look, there's a massive spotlight on the Geelong Football Club here at the moment. It's twofold. One, the future of Brian Cook. Now, he is widely expected and almost certain to join Carlton. Wow. He's been very quiet on that, and the people around him inside the football club are expecting him to join Carlton. We will try and rebuild that football club more on their coach search in a second, but well, one of the most respected figures in the game's, or administrators in the game's history, leaving the Cats, Steve Hocking will take over, expected to happen in the next couple of weeks, and there's the big Bunsen burner on the list. Now, from my investigations over the past 48 hours, and we know a flu virus did hit the club in the lead-up to its preliminary final, but they're more likely to back in this ageing list than make rash changes as it stands. Now, the assessments will begin throughout this week, but I think it's more likely to focus on the injury history. So you boys will have a good hold of this. But Jeremy Cameron, three hamstring setbacks. Miss Duncan missed with that knee injury. Patrick Dangerfield was out of the team for a long time. Tom Stewart, arguably their best player, missed the final. So they want to get that medical department, that injury handling right. And there will be a tinkering in the coach's box. So Chris Scott will be there for next year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Matthew Knights will leave. He'll go to West Coast. He'll join Adam Simpson over there. They'll get a fresh set of eyes in. But upon any measurement, do we not think that Geelong will be top six with Jeremy Cameron, Tom Hawkins, Dangerfield, etc.? Aren't they going to be a top six side anyway next year? When you're a top six side, it's a club that's never finished below 12th. Played in 12 preliminary finals since 2004.
Jeez.
Rebuilding, going down to the bottom, isn't in their textbook.
Yeah.
But so they're going to they think they're going to be a top six side next year with that home ground advantage. Get some of this injury stuff right. Maybe tweak up some of the coaching. Back in Narkle, I'm not sure about Clark. Jack Henry, they love. Asaba Radagalea. They think there's some improvement there. Are they top six for you next year, Burn?
I think they probably are. I think they're a top eight side. But how many times do you want to just fall short? Port Adelaide are in the same boat. Yeah. Do you want to keep falling short? I guess if you're in the finals, you put yourself in a position to win one. I know, but geez, I'll be having a look at maybe moving a couple on. But the Western Bulldogs, mate, I want to ask you about that injury toll. Yep. Vandermeer, we saw him leave in that, well, he had to take the vest, subbed out. Waitman, will he return? And Alex Keith?
Yeah. Oh, look, it's going to be, I can't wait for this grand final. Look, the Dogs are going to be back to your full strength. Cody Waitman expected to come back from that hamstring injury. Alex Keith, they're expecting to come in, face a big matchup potentially on Tommy McDonald or Benny Brown, one of the bigs. Latham Vandermeer, he went off with a hamstring injury. Luke Beveridge said he was doubtful. There's some confidence around Whitten Oval today that even he could be available. So there's going to be some heartbreak for a defender, Ryan Gardner, Zane Cordy, perhaps, and maybe a fringe forward as Anthony Scott, or someone's going to miss out for Cody Waitman, who just brings such electricity and tackle pressure to that forward line. But there is really good news for the Bulldogs. And look, they did it in 2016. They come outside the top four. Everyone said they needed a miracle. Like, of all the coaching achievements in football over the past 20 years, for Luke Beveridge to do this twice in a row, like, it's flown under the radar, I think, to this point. The coaching achievement from this guy. I mean, you saw the nightclub scenes or the change room scenes, right, Byrne? You know, after they won, they're playing the disco song. They're all having a beer. They're all jumping around.
Yep.
What does that tell you about the chemistry, camaraderie, spirit driving that football club at the moment?
Well, he spoke about that in the rooms after, and I heard his speech, and he goes, I just love how close you boys are. It means so much to each and every one of you. Even the guys that weren't playing were involved. Yep. So I just love that football club. I love the way they go about it. The contest stuff, I just thrive. I just love the way. And that's finals footy too. Hey, I want to move on. Carlton, what's the latest there? We hear Michael Voss has spoken to him.
Yeah, I'm not getting a super overwhelming, exciting vibe that Michael Voss will be the coach of Carlton next year. I guess it could still happen, but certainly that's not the signals coming out of Icon Park at the moment. We talked about Brian Cook. I tell you, don't write out Don Pike. I know he turned down Collingwood, but there's some talk around the traps that they'll still try and tempt him. You know, maybe a different style of opportunity than Collingwood. They're certainly going to ask the question. And Ken Hinckley is the other one. So he's got a contract for two more years. We've spoken about Chris Scott already, he's going to be someone that they ask the question of. Deezer Williams has got this view that they're going to go for the top. You know, Alistair Clarkson, you know, didn't work out with Ross Lyon, but they're going to go from the top and work their way down. They're not accepting an untried coach because that's, you know, the feel that they're going to ultimately end up or settle for. They will go through a process. It's going to ramp up this week, and it will include asking the question of some of the top coaches in the competition. I know Kenny Campenown Ken hasn't been able to win a premiership at Port Adelaide, but he still has a huge amount of respect within the industry for keeping the power up. And I think he is widely regarded as a very good coach, like Chris Scott, who, albeit, hasn't been able to win that trophy since 2011.
Yeah, he's one of the best. Well, getting him there. But while we're on Port Adelaide, what about the fallout there? They just didn't turn up, didn't want the contest. They were just basically beaten up, and it was embarrassing. What's the fallout there?
I couldn't believe it. There is this theory at the moment that you look at the top four teams from last season. They've all been up for a very long time, right? So let's look at Geelong, right? Blown away by Melbourne. Port Adelaide, blown away. Richmond didn't even make it. Brisbane, out in straight sets. Yes. So these four teams have been up on the road, away from family. So it was told to me this afternoon that you can't underestimate how fatigued, how taxing, how difficult it has been for these teams, which have been up at the top for a long time. And as in Geelong and Port's case, fallen at the final hurdle. Mm. So that might be a factor that the club...
Well, Port can't use that as an excuse because they've got home finals. They've had the week off. They've been sleeping in their own beds the last month.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
They did botch it. I'm just saying that these clubs who haven't had much of a break, you know, have been up for a long time, right? It has been very... It has taken a toll. But that's not to say they still didn't put the bed the other night.
There's the Bulldogs. Five states... In 3 weeks.
Well, they're called the Road Warriors.
They're
the Mad Max of the competition. Defeated Essendon and Tassie, Lions in Queensland, Port in Adelaide. They're the Road Warriors.
And went to Perth in between just to drop their bags off and come here.
Thank you very much.
At least they get to go back. Now, just before we let you go, Jake, Stephen May, any issues there? Any?
No, 100%. No concern. He will play. He's been telling people for the last 48 hours.
Good.
He will be there. He'll have a lot of week on the track, but he'll get some massage, some therapy. He will 100% be there, Ben.
Geez, I might do my hammy too, if that's what you get.
Jay, have a good one. Great report, mate. And we'll speak again on Saturday morning, Dead Set Legends.
Good on you, boys.
There he is.
There, Jay.
Guys, we love to check in with the Rush Hour fam every week and get, every day, get a message from you guys. Mm-hmm. And so today we have a message on the Triple M text line 0488851047. Mark from Redwood Park has texted through, "Where's Bluey gone? Not sure how much longer I can listen to these two results."
He said that. Mark from Redwood Park has said, "Where's Blewett? But I can't listen to these two." What do you call us?
Rissoles.
Check the number.
Who is it?
I'm looking up. I reckon he's just thrown in. What name did he make up?
Mark.
And where did he say he's from?
Redwood Park.
Bull dust. What's the number?
It's Blewett.
Show
from
me.
Walkerville.
Oh, yeah, 04.
That's what it is.
What an idiot.
You're a clown.
I knew that wasn't true.
Yeah, don't come back, mate.
Get back and work
don't
out stay how to drive
don't
a quad
get on
bike,
the ferry, G. Blewett. Honestly.
That is disgraceful.
2 weeks, you've done nothing all year. You've brought nothing to the show.
Down.
We don't, mate. We're fine.
Try and be make out you're a country boy a bit more, mate.
Do something.
Get on the quad bike.
Yeah.
Actually start it yourself, not Rory.
Stop getting your lavender all splashed over your face. And, you know, pretending you like koalas. You hate koalas. You're right there, Bert.
I'm dying.
Sucked in.
Anyway, so we've exposed him.
Yeah.
So
we got him.
Mark Greg Blewett from Redwood Park, Walkerville.
And why'd you come up with Redwood Park anyway? What's that? Wood. Wood. Because you're what? You're cutting up some wood, are you, over there, making out you're a
not
farmer,
with his little girly Lucille ball
you'd have
fingers.
A splinter in those hands.
No, thanks.
That's it. If you've got a legit question for the Rush Hour, guys, you can text us through 0488851047.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact. All right, buddy.
September 13, Jars.
Yes.
We're in the middle of finals footy.
Yes,
the smell of the grass. You can smell it, can't you, Jars?
Yeah, you can.
Are you concentrating?
Sorry,
get
Ben.
Get off your phone.
Oh, I was just,
what are you texting some...
G. Blewett. G. Blewett just rang.
Did he?
Yeah. Just said,
what did he answer as John from Redwood Park?
Mark, he just said, are you missing me?
And what was your response?
I said, Bern and I said, go and get stuffed.
Just text back, Who's this?
Yeah. Find a little boat. Find a little boat at Kangaroo Island and just drift off the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, and don't pack an oar.
But make sure
or
you bring
jacket.
Back Catherine and the boys.
Yeah, yeah. Get them back safe.
What do you got, Tig?
September 13, a few things happened on this day. On this day, I'm going to start 1965. This song was released by the Beatles, Jazz.
Yesterday.
Beautiful song.
All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe.
What a song. Beautiful song. I nearly lost you then. You had your eyes shut. Yeah, you were just bopping away.
No, I love them. You love the Beatles.
Hey, on this day, 1969, Scooby-Doo aired for the first time on CBS. Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, Shaggy.
Oh, Bernie.
Actually, you sound a bit like... Do it again.
I sound like him, do I?
Are you trying to put on... That's how you normally sound.
Oh, Bernie.
That's you on a Sunday morning. another show that's been very, very popular aired on this day for the first time in 1990, drama series Law and Order.
Good show.
Abby's favourite show.
Yeah, I'm with Abs.
I can't get it off.
Love
it's
it.
It's always on. And
love
it. You've seen this one. You know what happens. I forget. I want to watch it again. No, you've seen it. Don't need
Great
to watch
show.
That again. It's had 20 seasons. That's how much of a success that's been.
One of the
over
great
500
shows,
episodes.
Good stat.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, hang on. Oh, that's leading me into the
Is
next one.
Jump the gun.
1997, we had Princess Di.
Yeah.
Last week, wasn't it? She was laid to rest. But Elton John released Candle in the Wind as a tribute to Princess Di. Here we go. Turn it up, G. What a song.
And
he came out with Marilyn Monroe earlier.
Yeah, true.
About her. And then he did one for
and
Princess
And he changed Di. The lyrics to
changed
say
a little bit, didn't
Goodbye,
he?
England yes. Rose, Lady Di.
Yes, there you go. Do you know a lot
And you know, he's never, he's sang it that once and he's never sang it again.
Is that right?
Yeah, he made a commitment that he'll never
That's
sing
good,
that
Joe.
Song ever again.
Birthdays today, 1916. Yep. Roald Dahl. You know Roald Dahl, the author?
Roald Dahl.
The BF. Who?
Roald Dahl.
Never heard
Roald
of him.
Roald Dahl. What did I say?
You've never heard of him, Jazz.
Roald Dahl.
Did you read to your children?
Was it Hattie? Not
the Hattie Witches.
And the Fox. Something in the Fox.
Do apologise, no.
But the BFG. Oh,
what's the BFG? What are they called?
Big Friendly Giant.
Big Friendly Giant.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I'll be. Hey, mate, I'm going to get going.
No, another one. 1969. Oh, the most wickets ever for an Australian cricketer, Shane Warne.
Yeah.
That's his birthday today, 1969, Jazz. Yep.
Could he be in KI with Bluey getting Botox done? There's a little clinic over there.
He would have rang him. He would have rang Shane Warne because he's had a lot of stuff done to him. But just a fact to let you on your way.
Happy
this
birthday,
is this morning. Is just proof.
Okay, Boone.
That the two best teams are playing in 2 weeks' time, Jazz.
Yes, Boone.
And you know why that is?
Why's that, Boone?
Because in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
These two smack this number out of the park.
Yes, Ben.
For being the top two teams for the majority of the year. You know how many rounds they spent as to the top two teams?
I
both
don't
of them?
Know. I don't know, Ben.
16.
There you go.
And in the last 10 years,
yes,
in the grand final, you know what the next best number is?
I don't
spending
know.
Spending position one and two during the year?
What is it, Ben?
2014.
Get
six.
Out. Yeah.
It was only six.
Wow.
So this is proof.
Yeah.
That they've spent 16 rounds as number one and two team in the competition, and that is why in 2 weeks' time we will see a great grand final.
And Port,
there you go.
Port had no hope then Saturday night. Then
no, well, they.
A third.
I don't even want to go there.
Okay. All right. Hey, that was a good show for a Monday. Thanks, Global Family.
Well, we're normally ordinary on a Monday, are we?
No.
Yeah, actually, we are.
No, we're not.
It was shit.
No, I'll see you tomorrow.
Are we back tomorrow? Days. Are
Not
we on the
I'm talking to you, Ben, the producer.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez, you're not... No,
Ben,
I'm
do you want to go for a froth?
I'm not doing it with Benny.
Do you want to go for
a
froth?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
I'm thirsty.
See you, G.
Bye.
Well, G can come, can't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.